Hey, Bees.
Hey, boy.
Hey, pup. Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show, Saturday night edition, September 8th, 2007. Got the dates wrong here. We're pushing time a little bit. Anyhow, tonight, and welcome also 1340 Tan Talk Radio, Voice of Tampa Bay. We are, tonight I'm going to continue on with what we were doing about last week. We had Stanton Friedman on as our guest, and Kathleen Marden, who was a niece of Betty Hill. That was a lot of fun, and last night we did the open mic thing and had call-ins and did email or chat room stuff, which was fun, because we've been working on cosmology on the open mic. And you got to understand, the format of the show is that once a month I do an open mic. Two nights during a month I'll have guests, and then we'll have one extra night of the month on Friday nights now, because the show has actually changed from a Saturday night to Friday night at 6, which makes it easier for people on the East Coast to not have to stay up so late. So anyhow, doing that, we made the Saturday night live 10 or 9 o'clock show Pacific time. It becomes the canned show. So there's always a continuation on the canned show from one episode to the other, except last Saturday night when we reran the Stanton Friedman interview, Kathleen Marden interview, because it was a very popular, but well-listened-to show. And we had a lot of fun. So the last canned show that we had was about a UFO panel that I was on, and this is a part two of that UFO panel, a continuation from about 3 weeks ago. Following the UFO panel, part two, which you'll hear now, we're going to switch over to a lecture I did with the National Health Federation on some interesting things back in Chicago a while back. So it should be a great evening of fun. And don't forget to email me at fredbell@paradyne.com. If you don't know how to spell Paradyne, it's P-Y-R-A-D-Y-N-E. We've got a lot of guests coming up. We've been doing a lot in cosmology because people want to understand how the hologram works and how the projection stuff works. So on our live shows, that's the stuff we're covering, and that is the science of the New Age. And cosmology itself is making some pretty good inroads to where it needs to go to become a more fluid thing in the American public. So anyhow, without saying any more, we're going to jump immediately, like a time warp jump, into the UFO panel coming right up here. One UFO panel. Here it comes.
Then lose control over them. When I say they, we're talking about a consortium of families, probably 9 in number. There could be as many as 12.
Talking about control
about
of the earth.
There's about 600 core power elite. They've got about 20,000 servants and sycophants and hangers-on and whatever. And we're talking about a core power structure of the private technology, which is the junk, the military technology, which is what the franchises are allowed to have, and then the shadow technology at the top, which is basically what I call a mother company, a parent company, that's set up smaller franchises like Jack in the Box or McDonald's, except they call them the United States and France and Germany and Russia, and that we're corporate franchises that belong to this mother company. And any technology that breaks through the box, in other words, any vertical technology that goes up and out, rather than bigger and better and smaller and faster, but all the same technology. I mean, there's been a foot that's been stepping on the face of humanity probably since World War II, not allowing us to progress past a certain obsolescent level. And the shadow government at the top is a group of bankers, financiers, royalty, wealthy families, literally the sons of God, you know, the mighty men
this
of old.
This is Sean Morton, by the way.
They've been consolidating their money and their wealth and their power, not just for 50 years, but for possibly 500 years, since the Crusades, no doubt. So this is who I'm talking about, these people at the top who have some sort of agenda for the planet of where they want to push us to. Somebody over here yes. Right. The question is, viruses, how are they being administered?
Well, usually through vaccines.
vaccines. For the example, polio.
Television.
Yeah, television.
Too much party. Yeah.
No, well, I'll just give you a couple quick examples. In Mobile, Alabama, 1960, a million people got inoculated with cancer through polio. San Francisco, 1978, 2,000 people got inoculated with what became the HIV virus. Zaire, Africa, 1976, July 7th, two people showed up in a missionary with bleeding diarrhea and bleeding mucus. Stayed there for 2 days. Nobody knew who they were. They weren't any of the 16 tribes that they normally service. By the end of October, those two people had disappeared. 1,000 people lay dead, including half the people in the mission. So that was the great one that's coming now. It's already in Texas. So it just goes on and on.
Yeah. We just got a report from Oakville, Washington. It's about 50 miles from Yelm toward the coast. I think Grays Harbor County. And it was on Channel 7 News night before last. I don't know, maybe some of you saw it, but unmarked black helicopter dropped pellets that turned into a gel-like substance. Two elderly people got deathly sick, and quite a few more are ill from some sort of virus. It was analyzed supposedly with, from human bacteria. That was the report that came on the TV, and we're checking that out. MUFON has some people. Some of our field investigators are checking that out. So that's Oakville, Washington, 2 days ago.
One of the things that we do at Pyridine, my company, with Pleiadians, teaching us all this stuff, is we make all kinds of products that build your immune system. My whole thrust of my workshop today is how to build your immune system, because your immune system is your consciousness. And if they can attack your consciousness through your immune system, you're going to be lay there trying to survive. You won't be able to think and act clearly. And that's the whole auspice of what we're about now.
Here's also where some of it links into the UFO technology. The interesting thing about the AIDS virus is that when the AIDS virus was actually developed at the Biological Warfare Unit at Fort Detrick, specifically what they were using was cattle blood, bovine visna virus, and sheep's brains, which is a sheep viscous virus. Now, both of these things were during the cattle mutilations. Specifically what they were taking was they were coring out the rectums of these cows and tongues and eyes, but also taking sheep's brains as well, along with the blood. And this stuff was then being crossbred in a laboratory with green monkey T cells, because in the early 1970s, most of the research into cancer was being done with green monkey T cells. This was crossbred with green monkey T cells and then trained in a laboratory to attack human tissue, then laced into a polio virus, then basically shot into most of the population of Africa. The only reason they spread it in the homosexual population here in the United States was because they took out ads in the gay magazines, the Advocate, the Village Voice, et cetera, in San Francisco, Los Angeles, and New York City, basically saying that they would only administer a hepatitis B vaccine to young promiscuous homosexuals between the ages of 18 and 30. Homosexuals in monogamous relationships were not taken, by the way. And they paid you $100 to give you this experimental vaccine. And the reason for this was because, and this is nothing against their lifestyle, but they were having sex with 30, 40 different guys a night in the bathhouses in New York. And when the New York State Health Authorities tried to close the bathhouses down, the federal government sent federal marshals in to specifically keep those bathhouses open, because the gays were ranting and raving about the fact that their civil rights are being violated. And New York State Health Authorities were going, look, people are dying here. We don't know what to do. We've got complaints of people dying of this weird disease. We have to shut these places down. So now we've got a disease that's not only a disease, but it has civil rights, along with actually having along with being a danger. So
it's also been genetically designed. These diseases are developed in stages, and in the AIDS started with a frequency of higher ultraviolet, which depletes the immune systems if your electrolytes in your brain aren't high enough. And so this was introduced in college because of promiscuous sex, and then it was pulled out and then mixed. And so they do genetic inbreeding by, doing serums and mixing in that in the laboratory. But the AIDS hasn't reached its final development. It's just now reaching it. Its final development is transmission, because it's designed to be airborne through mosquitoes. Mosquitoes are the target of the, they call them the flying needles. So you haven't seen AIDS yet in its glory. It's just getting ready to be launched.
And I think to take this one step further to the metaphysical aspect, and this has a lot to do with what I think all of us are doing, the bottom line is that they are trying to attack the DNA helix. And by attacking the DNA helix, they will do it through cellular phones, through radar, through microwaves, through the fact that the entire planet is miswired. The whole planet is wired at 60 cycles. And the actual Schumann resonance of the planet actually jumped almost a full point on June 22nd. The Schumann resonance used to be 7.83 to 8.1, and it literally jumped a point on June 22nd to 9.1, which is one of the reasons why you're having these massive power blackouts and transformers are exploding, causing the latest rounds of fires in Southern California. The reason they want to attack the DNA helix is because the DNA helix is an antenna, and this antenna is actually receiving information. And the information that's coming in, we're being bombarded with more information because the Earth is moving into an entirely new area of space, literally what you would call the Age of Aquarius. And we are being opened up to all this information, and they feel that if they can bombard the DNA helix, that the antenna of the cellular knowledge and the cellular structure will keep mankind from jumping to that next level, keep mankind from literally evolving one step further.
Could you mention the HEART project?
Actually, hang on. Let me get a guy that has an extra question here. Yes, sir. Oh, okay, about the HEART project.
Could you mention the HEART project in relation to all this?
Madeline, do you know about the HEART project? Can you make a comment on that?
Well, we've just been just watching what's been going on with all the reports on the HEART project, but there was something on TV one time that I saw about 2 months ago that had a very interesting connection to the HEART project. Whether it was really connected or not, I don't know, but it showed this superconductor gun that the Nazis were supposed to have developed way back at the end of World War II, and that was supposed to have been the original plans for the HEART project that later spread all over, the whole thing with them trying to control the weather and having effect with sound frequency and having this grid up. Of course, the idea is that they're having some kind of a grid that people won't be able to get through with rockets and missiles and that sort of thing. But if you really follow it, it has pretty far-reaching implications as far as other aspects as well. And there have been rumors in the UFO world that say, they're putting this up to make some of the UFOs come down, crash, that type of thing.
Fred, I know you've got a lot of it. Hang on, Fred has a lot of information on HEART.
Well, yeah, I won't admit this, but I worked on some of the technology back in the 70s and 60s that became the HEART project. First of all, over at Los Alamos, we developed a beam, and we used a 1 gigawatt laser. And was written about a little bit by the government in 1979. Putting a 1 gigawatt laser in place with an invisible beam, higher than the eye can see, created a heat zone up in the outer atmosphere equivalent to the heat of a hydrogen bomb. The thing is, it was the radioactivity is a very short wavelength, so it wouldn't cause radioactive poisoning to the people of Earth. But what it did is it created this heat. We were able to sustain this heat. So imagine a hydrogen bomb going off for several hours at a time. Now, you know what that does to your trade winds? It makes all your winds blow differently. So in the early 80s, your weather started changing. Okay. The reason this research was going on was because we wanted to fire microwaves into this heat beam to deflect microwaves. One of the big dangers why we, for example, have been in the pyramids for so many years is because people, the radar that's at the airport, one day there's a temperature inversion, and the radar's not on the planes looking for planes. It ends up hitting you in your bed when you sleep at night, causing that jumping sensation. It's very dangerous, but they don't tell you that. So that was the beginning of the technology. Where the technology is now, we have 1.5 trillion watt transmitters in Arecibo, Puerto Rico, and Russia, and here. And the Russians are part of the triune. So it's not about this. It's called a full global shield. And if the Russians are involved in this, and they're very much involved because they're part of a three-cornered, pyramid stretch around the Earth, the auspices that they feed the public is, we're going to heat up the ionosphere, which is normally minus 250 degrees. We're going to heat it up to 400 degrees Fahrenheit. That's pretty damn hot up there. Then we're going to shoot a microwave beam into it, very high, and we're going to X-ray for a hidden, like in Iraq, we're going to look for a vial under the ground, see if Saddam Hussein has got a laboratory making atomic weapons. That's the auspices. And the Air Force says, if you're in that area when this is going on and you have a car and you have flares in the trunk, the environmental impact report says the flares are going to go off. So it's that much. So, but it is a full global shield. And what happens is these grays are coming back now from different places where they've been, and their ships and the propulsion system and the grays use a lot of beryllium. So when they hit this full global shield, when it's enacted, the ships blow up, and you see these green flashes that go across the sky, you know, three or four states across.
They just had over Los Angeles just recently.
Yeah, that was one return. So we're actually under some kind of an invasion right now. And the government is getting very nervous because a lot of federal officials could go to prison rather quickly if the cover-up comes to light. So we're accelerating the Mars rock now. It's pretty soon going to be a Mars fossil. I mean, you can see all this in the media. They're stepping the tune up. So these are some of the kinds of things that are going on with the HART project. I could go on for hours, but it just gives you an idea.
Do you think they're using HARP against our immune system as well?
Totally. Yeah. They don't care about your immune system. That's your consciousness.
For those of you who aren't familiar with it, HARP stands for High Altitude Oral Resonance Projection. And what it is it's a device in Alaska that is being used to heat pockets of the ionosphere. What the party line is, they supposedly heat up these pockets in the ionosphere, and then they can bounce different things off. They basically create a lens, and they try to bounce things off the lens. And they can either bounce certain types of radar, which means they can look several hundred feet underground for gold deposits or radar deposits or nuclear missiles, but they can also bounce microwaves off it as a weapon. They can cook an entire city like microwave popcorn if they wanted to. And, of course, the problem is that they are heating up these chunks of the ionosphere, which is changing the weather patterns. Last year, as I'm sure you remember, the very, very severe winter that we had here in Washington and also in California, the weathermen were scratching their heads saying, we don't know what it is, but this wind, the usual jet stream that goes over the central part of the United States and Canada, is almost like it's being grabbed and hooked straight down through Washington, through California, through Oregon. When they were asked, when they invented the HART project, well, aren't you worried that heating up these pockets of the atmosphere is going to goof up the weather systems of the planet? These scientists just sort of went, well, I guess we'll find out, won't we? So it's sort of like building a nuclear reactor and not being able to turn it off and saying, well, what's going to happen when we have to turn the nuclear reactor off in 20 years? Well, I guess we'll find out 20 years from now. Somebody hasn't asked a question. This gentleman way in the back here. Yes. Hang on. You haven't asked a question? Go ahead. Oh, you've got a HART thing. Okay. All right.
I got a planetary red alert on HART, and it does change the whole immune system, and it's important. The question that I had, though, was when I was down in Sedona and I saw them weaving a grid up in the sky, mm-hmm. is that connected to the work they're doing there? Because I know the humming accompanies everything.
Well, the humming is I have a theory on the Taos hum. I think that what's happened is with the Taos hum is I think that they're sonic drillers. And I think that what's happening is that instead of using the old MOHOs, which is what the RAND Corporation invented in the 50s, that they're actually using sound to drill these gigantic holes between the various tunnels. And they've actually found a new way of drilling, and this isn't even classified, but this is like a RAND Bechtel report where they can move right into a mountain and use sonics to actually just melt solid rock. And that they're actually using these sonic drillers back and forth. But as far as a grid being drawn in the sky, no, it actually creates an energy which creates a pocket or a lens, and they can actually create that pocket or lens within about a 180-degree, well, not even that much, about a 90-degree radius around where it actually is.
Well, the danger is you heat up one part of the planet, the other part's going to get real cold.
Yeah, exactly.
And
well,
then you get the extreme.
It's insanity. It's pure insanity. And what the ultimate, you know, whether or not they're just stupid or whether or not they're actually, just
you
scientists
know.
are doing this just out of the blue. This gentleman hasn't asked a question back there. He's been very quiet. Yes, sir.
I've been involved with
you. You have to speak up because I can't hear you.
I've been involved with this research for quite a long time.
Okay.
One of the biggest challenges I see in society is that the average person is really strictly contaminated.
Yes. He said that, I'll repeat the question later, but he says that he's been involved in the research for a long time and the average person is very much spiritually contaminated. Go ahead.
You have Palladians call it auric stench.
Yes, go ahead.
I believe that everything in the universe is energy, including human thought.
Yes. And everything in the universe is energy, including human thought. Yes.
Certain beings involved in parts of the galaxy, they evolve basically from negative energy, such as the grays.
Yes.
And I believe the grays can exist here.
Very good. He's saying that basically just as you have positive thoughts in the universe, you also have negative areas in the universe as well, and that various these beings, specifically the grays, evolved in these negative thought form areas in the universe, and that if we raise the vibratory frequency of the planet high enough, that none of these beings will be able to actually exist here or come here anymore. Very good. Excellent observation. Down in the back. Yes, sir.
Do you now they just do the same thing another time, they won them. Or do something to confuse them.
Okay, the question is, why is there some sort of secret government? Because if they have the money to transport people off the Earth, I didn't understand the last part of the question.
But they have that sort of technology.
Yes?
Why don't they go to other planets and make more money?
Go to other planets to make and make more money. Good question. Anybody want to jump in here, Jerry?
No, grab the mic.
I feel like I'm you're not being ignored. Bottom line, I'm not them. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I can tell you certain things. I theorize. I call them the scum power elite, that they're basically the scum that sits on the top of the pond that keeps the light away from the rest of us. I think that too much of it would have to do with losing power and losing control in the short term. Maybe in the long term, yes, we could do that.
There is another reason, too.
Yeah, please,
There's this guy called Jesus Christ that comes here every once in a while. We have a spiritual being that appears every so many millenniums. And that phenomenon, like you don't have a Christ figure appearing on planets like in Era and Taigata and places like that. It doesn't happen that often. So there is a base interest in deep religion and deep spiritual belief that's very much a part of the whole spiritual constitution of these powerful families that control this earth. And have for several millenniums.
And I don't know if we have an answer to your question as to why they. I don't know. You know, it sounds to me like, well, if they're interested in using the entire population of Earth as for slave labor, why are they interested in killing us off? I mean, it seems to me like if you're the farmer in the house, the only time you get the guns and the dogs out is when the cows and the pigs get out of the barn. And of course, once the cows get put back in the barn, the cows are so stupid they blame the dog. They say, "Oh, it's the dog's fault. We're back here in the house." So there we go. I mean, I did have, Adam Trumbly, who has 7 degrees and worked with Buckminster Fuller and was a very high level government official. I asked him, "Our extraterrestrials was working with the government?" And he said, "Man, the question you should be asking is not whether or not extraterrestrials are working with the government, whether or not extraterrestrials are the government." And he said, think about it. Look back in your history. Look back at the sons of God. Look back at... the American Indians have an interesting thing to say about this, if I can comment on it in just a second. They talk about what they call the people of the blue light and the people of the red light. They say that the blue light beings, primarily us, the Caucasian races, the Pleiadians, wherever they go, the people of the blue light is cold. It needs worship. It needs to absorb energy and information. And wherever those beings go, they set up oligarchical, fascist, monarchical systems, where they basically set up a plantation where they're living in the house and we're out, sort of picking cotton in the field. And that in essence, when they leave to go someplace else, they leave one of their kids in charge, which we call the God-King system, which is the first time ever that the United States actually broke out of the God-King system, that God owns the world or the plantation, and that we are servants to that God. The Indians sort of joke with us and say, well, we know where you white people are going when you die. You're going to go be servants in the house of the Lord. It sounds like, you're going to go shine somebody's shoes up in some, up in some spacecraft up in space. And then they talk about the people of the red light. Some of the video that I have on this is of these red light craft that is being photographed by Carlos Diaz down in Mexico. The red light beings are many of the indigenous peoples. The Aborigines in Australia, the many of the blacks in Africa, the red races on the planet, even some of the indigo races that predate them, and they deal in tribal structures, not, I guess what we would call patriarchal, matriarchal structures, but in much more broad-based tribal structures, because from the red light comes heat, comes warmth, comes energy, comes passion, comes love, and it's much more feminine in its acceptance. So there are different types of beings that are visiting the planet. I'm just saying that the blue light beings, mostly rogue Pleiadians and Lyrans and what have you, are setting up these sort of dictatorial systems that we're just now in the process of getting rid of. Somebody hasn't asked a question yet. Lady in the back, yes? A vertical what mandalite? Right. And this was where? All right. Well, remember, I mean, the term flying saucer was coined right here in Seattle. I mean, when Kenneth Arnold saw the ships over Mount Rainier. So, I mean, literally, this is sort of the beginning of the flying saucer phenomenon, the beginning of the flying saucer generation right here in Seattle. Yes.
And modern kings, they are rulers, can't do that anymore. It's politically uncool. And so the modern power of rule is information.
Right.
Knowledge is power, and a lack of knowledge is a lack of power. So
right.
If you can have a secret society and deny some knowledge about a particular thing, you stop us acting on it.
It's always the choke points of food, energy, and information. That's what they've controlled for thousands of years. It's what they use to keep the population. It's what the farmer uses to keep the cows in the barn, in essence. This gentleman here, because you haven't asked a question yet. Yes.
Kind of a question, comment. We've reached sort of a critical mass, and it's probably going beyond that in terms of media and public awareness of this phenomenon. And I know that there seems to have been a kind of an evolution over the years in the way that this has been presented. Publicly. And I'm wondering, first of all, I have a real problem with the whole concept of the sort of dichotomy between good guys and bad guys, both the grays or bad guys. There's lots of shades of gray. And what I'm wondering is, to what extent is the government involved in a disinformation campaign, and what is the nature of that disinformation campaign? Do we want you to think that they're all real bad guys?
I'll answer first and just pass it down. You're getting the essence of the party line, and of course the party line is basically the Roswell case, that, you know, these little boogies crashed and that we picked up a bunch of them, they were alive and we were absorbing their technology, and everything sort of started about 1947 or so, and that the military's in control and they're forming these secret societies like MJ-12 in order to handle the extraterrestrial threat, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, that's the party line. The truth might be, once again, that not only are extraterrestrials, have they been coming here for the last 50 years, but they've been coming here for tens of thousands of years, and that they are, in fact, indigenous to, and I'm not just talking about extraterrestrials, I'm also talking about ultra-terrestrials. In other words, beings from other dimensions sliding back and forth through this planet, so that, you know, the real point would be is that they've been in control all along, and the real propaganda campaign is giving us some sort of attitude that, you know, that we're in control, that the military knows what's going on, that the military knows what's happening, and that eventually they'll protect us from whatever's out there. And but I also think, too, that the reason they're putting the spin on the information that they are, and the reason they're trying to release as much of it as they are, is because I firmly believe that within the next year or so, you're going to see ships appearing over New York City, Los Angeles, Seattle, exactly like they're appearing over Mexico. And over Mexico, what are they going to explain to the population? In Mexico, they had two motherships park themselves for almost a solid week, witnessed by 27 million people all over South American television, you know, South America, Central America. You didn't hear word one about it up here in El Norte. I mean, the Iron Curtain just drops on the information. So, you know, what happens when these ships start hovering over our gringo cities, and then we have to suddenly, you know, deal with a mothership floating over New York or what have you? I mean, these guys have got to have an answer, and I think that they're desperately dancing as fast as they can to come up with some kind of spin on the information, because you have to sympathize with them. What's the point of government? To govern, to be in control, in essence. And if you basically tell them that, well, okay, there's beings out there that can roll over in their sleep tomorrow and wipe us out, and there's not a damn thing we can do about it, you know, what are you supposed to say? And, you know, when it's funny, because if they actually say, well, there's no such thing as UFOs, they're right, but they might all be identified. You have thought of that? So, we know exactly what everything is. There's no such thing as UFOs. We know what everything is. Because they already know. So they're trying to control the spin on the information. And if you look at the biblical texts or any of this ancient stuff, it seems like over and over and over again, these sky people basically come here, set up some sort of civilization, enslave the indigenous populations, and exactly like the British did to the Indians, or the Spanish did to the Incans, or whatever. I mean, there's a whole other take to this as well, but if these guys were to land, then we should kill them and eat them, and show them exactly that we're totally savage, and that they should stay the hell off our planet, because every single time a higher technology has come in contact with a lower technology, the lower technology is raped and enslaved. You know, ask Chief Seattle, what happened here?
Yeah, if you look at Sitchin's books, a lot of you are familiar with that, or if you've studied ancient legends, that's what Sean said is true. Start out with the gods being so friendly and giving people all the technology, and then the people start rebelling, right. And then there's the wars between gods and men. And
first god, then gun.
That's right. And so it goes on and on, and it's the same cycle. We're getting the same information, and most of my research has been with the ancient technologies, and that's the same exact message that I'm getting, and it's been here. It just recycles every so many years, and so it's pretty much the same old thing that we have in the ancient writings of all the ancient people all over the world. And how many times did it happen before that? You know, if you go by the Mayan prophecies and the information that the Mayans had, of course, they were talking about going back 30 billion years into the past, and they had their legends going way back to similar type cycles, and they claimed that we're in the sixth root race now.
Do you gentlemen have comments on this?
Go ahead.
I would like to. This is what I would like to say. You've all been sitting here for about an hour and a half, listening to all the technology that is enslaving us, all the ideas behind where they came from to enslave us, and why and how they're doing that. This is you they're talking about. This is me that these fellas are bringing information, what's happening to us right now. It's not a science fiction story on television. And anybody who can sit here and listen to all of this and expect that the government or your church is going to show you the way and protect you, and you go running there in the basement in a year when the craft is hovering over Puget Sound because you don't know how the hell to deal with that now. Do I go to work or what? Okay. Now, let me finish here for a second, because this is really what it's about. Are you in charge? Or are they in charge? Now, anybody in the New Age movement has to understand that there's a basic theory that you've lived before, and that you know all of this stuff, and you know how to deal with it, and in fact, the reason that you are here is to raise the level of the vibration on this planet and the consciousness to get rid of all this shit. I don't want to leave it there.
That's shifts, ladies and gentlemen.
Shifts. Thank you, kind sir. All right, now please let me finish. I haven't said anything for suspend building up here.
I knew you'd explode.
It's not that I have an answer for you. But the real question isn't who has the gosh darn craft that's shaped like a triangle, or where they're parked, or how many of them are there, or what technology is making them hover over the ground. The answer is, what are you personally going to do about it within your life? You have in your DNA, don't let them zap that. You can just meditate. You can just tone. You can just create reality with the words and the thoughts that do not participate in the crap that you see on television. And the reaction that you have when you hear all of this, it just seems, oh my God, I just want to go and climb into a cave because all the vibrations and all the atmosphere is heating up and all the AIDS viruses are around. If you concentrate.
Well, that was that part of the UFO panel. Excuse me. And now we will jump into Dr. Bell at the National Health Federation, which is a lot of fun. And hope you're enjoying this show. If you want to hear the first half of that, you got to go back about 2 weeks in the archives, and it's there. And now we're going to have Dr. Bell back on again. Here he comes. Dr. Bell, would you come up here and speak to the people, please? We want to.
Well, most of you probably know me. My name is Dr. Fred Bell. I'm from Laguna Beach, California, and I've been with the National Health Federation since 1975, however long that is, 13 years. And I'm not lecturing on the circuit that much anymore because, like I say, we're back in Europe mostly now, because that part of the world is really, really having problems. Those of you that are not familiar with the Global 2000 report, which I have talked about for the last 4 or 5 years here, it came out in 1981. It was a report done by our federal government during the Carter administration, and it was had 47 other countries worked in allegiance with this. And it talks about the world conditions today worldwide as far as pollution goes and our chances of survival into the 21st century, which are very slim. The strong-willed people naturally will survive, but you're probably noticing that all kinds of diseases, I mean, age is one of the problems, but many, many diseases are on the increase, and they're getting harder and harder to combat. And even though we're highly disciplined, a lot of us are, in our disease countermeasures, they still don't work. Things that work, how many of you notice that things that would work for colds and flus 4 or 5 years ago are absolutely useless now, techniques? How many of you noticed that today? And what happens is the body has to be treated now, not only on a biochemical level like we used to. We have to go back up and use electrical treatments like ionization, and then we have to go further back in the treatments now and go back into the science of electrical precursation, or what has to happen in order for electricity to flow in the body. Because just as we are combating these problems, so are things like ELF in Russia being launched. I was over in Berlin recently because I'm doing lectures over there. And if you go to Berlin, those of you that are sensitive to ELF, it is the strangest, coldest, weirdest feeling that you'll ever have when you're right by those big ELF generators that the Russians put out. And the ELF is a form of radiation that attacks cell growth and slows it down. When they measured the U.S. Embassy in Moscow, they found it was slightly microwave radioactive because these rays were constantly hitting it. A lot of newspapers in this country carried articles saying that our government didn't understand why we were getting all this radiation on our embassy building. But because our government is involved in the same research, we have a transmitting station in Australia, for example, this was not the true information to the public as to why this radiation was taking place. In the Global 2000 report, one of the first things it talks about is the weather. And how many of you noticed the weather changes in the last few years? It's pretty obvious, isn't it? This is the greenhouse effect. The Earth is heated by the reflection of the sunlight into the atmosphere. And what's happened is because the ozone layer is lowered and the carbon dioxide levels are so much higher now because of the pollution from fossil fuel exhaust, the atmosphere has become heavy. So if this, for example, if this town, Chicago, was supposedly at sea level, say 20 years ago, today it has the same amount of oxygen that it would have if it were about 2,000 feet. So your oxygen in your brains is a lot less. And the oxygen level goes down, what it's being replaced with is carbon dioxide. You know, when you breathe yourself out, that's carbon dioxide coming out. It's heavier. It makes a heavier effect. In Europe, you can just really see the difference over there. It's worldwide. I mean, in a few more years, the pollution problems are going to be, I mean, people won't even wonder where they're coming from. They'll all know. Even the Europeans, as I was saying earlier, are 10 years behind us in consciousness as far as holistic health goes, but their pollution problems are ahead of us. So it's very frustrating over there. They're all angry. They're all uptight. They're not that friendly with each other in a lot of ways. You can see why they're having wars over there all the time, you know, in Iran, Iraq, these kinds of things. The ozone layer that's hitting us now, its job is to block the ultraviolet layers, which are supposedly there but not anymore. And I'm sure, how many of you are not familiar with the ozone layer at this point in time? Okay. The high-flying jet aircraft that we keep putting more and more in the sky are the cause of this particular destruction of the ozone layer, not fluorocarbons, as you might have been led to believe. That's just bureaucratic lies as usual. Even the Global 2000 report put out by 19 different federal agencies clearly states that the problem with the ozone layer is from high-flying aircraft, primarily jet flights. And, of course, diseases, we first saw the herpes virus 2 because the ultraviolet attacks the immune system first, and when the immune system goes, the rest of the body goes. So the body genetically started mutating backwards with the herpes, and then we saw the Candidus albicans craze over here and different places, and into the AIDS. And now it's going into a general immune system destruction, whether you have AIDS or not. It doesn't really matter anymore. Your immune system is constantly being bombarded by the harmful rays of the sun. So not anyone anymore is immune from this problem. The acid rains that we talk about, you can clearly see them in Germany. You'll see a tree, for example, like you go into a forest in Germany, the top of the tree, like big beautiful pine trees, the top of the tree is there and the bottom of the tree is there and the entire middle of the tree is burned out. So you can look up through the top of the trees and see halfway through the forest, through the center section of the trees, but the bottom part of the trees are dense, so you won't see very far at the top. And that's happening all over Europe. It's happening here. But they don't have the ocean breezes on either side of the continent like we do, so their air is trapped, so you see more dramatic results of acid rain and alkaline rain, which I'm sure you're familiar with now, which started falling about 3 years ago, which is on the other side of the pH scale. So in general, the overall situation on the planet isn't looking too good, but at least it's so bad now that people are becoming aware of it. So now what I'd like to do is just explain a little bit about the human body and how it works so that you can understand where the problems are. The body is 5% minerals. It's the first word up here is minerals. Now, minerals, how many of you are aware of the crystal revolution with quartz? See lots of quartz crystals going in. Okay, this is a natural thing to happen because the mineral kingdom has been depleted since the 30s, and if 5% of our body is minerals, but that controls 95% of metabolic function, then the minerals, which are actually synapting in the brain, are creating electricity in the brain. That's what minerals do at different frequencies. And the minerals, when they create these different synapses or flashes at different frequencies, that's where your thought process comes from. Each mineral has a particular vibratory frequency, and when shooting off or exploding in your brain in different combinations, it enables thought forms to function in your brain. But because of the mineral kingdom being so low right now, we have to go to supplements, and even with the supplements in your body, you have to turn on the electrical levels of the body more and more. That's why, like, for example, the pyramids that you see that are being worn, those increase the electricity in the body. Special formulas with trace minerals, 72 to 100 and some different minerals are in there. And, of course, carrying quartz around in your pocket or having it in your home, that increases the electrical capacity of the minerals and the action in the body. We have to make the electrical part of the body more efficient to compensate for the deficiency of minerals. If you ever go and take two pieces of quartz, for example, and touch them together in the darkness, you see a big brilliant flash of light. How many of you have ever seen that? And that's caused by the electrical potential of quartz. Then once we have the minerals present for the body, then we have the enzyme. The enzyme allows the mineral to pass into the body. It's a pH factor. How many of you know what pH factor means? What does it mean? Right, potential hydrogen. And does anybody know what potential hydrogen really means? The energy comes from to our bodies from a higher source, from an inner source. And it's the hydrogen atom. It's very important. The hydrogen atom has a particular vibratory pattern to it, and it displays like a rainbow of energy. And when this rainbow of energy is functioning, it causes the oxygen and the hydrogen and the carbon and the nitrogen, the other three remaining atoms, to link up and form cells. Everything in the universe comes from these four elements, and hydrogen is the animating factor. And if the potential of hydrogen is not right, meaning the rainbow effect that it's putting into the body isn't right, there's a color shift in the spectrum. Your body wants to compensate back to rainbow colors in its energy fields. And so it takes a lot of energy to compensate back into the rainbow colors. This then causes a drain in the body, and if it goes one way, if it goes alkaline, it could cause bacterial, viral susceptibility, and if it goes acid, it could cause things to be depleted that shouldn't, premature depletion, these kinds of things, like using up elements that you really don't need to use. So potential hydrogen is very important. One thing about ELF, which is very sad, this is what use what we call the silent warfare that's used on people, ELF takes into consideration the destruction of the hydrogen atom, which causes frustration in the body. When these people put these huge ELF generators up, the original technology came from our radio telescopes when we used to use what was called a Messier amplifier, and we would point these amplifiers at the stars and listen to hydrogen frequencies. And the idea with the governments in this country and other countries was that if there was an extraterrestrial intelligence out there, it would transmit on the basic frequency of hydrogen. So these big ears would listen to the sky at hydrogen frequencies, and they had these Messier amplifiers, which later became known as lasers when they reversed the technique, cooled at liquid helium temperatures to keep it very quiet, and they would listen for variations And the government was so successful with this program that if you go down to the government printing office bookstore and get your Global 2000 report, you can also get the government CT report, which is called Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence Report, which is also available, published by our government, which goes into these things. In Los Angeles, for example, there's a couple, there's about 7 or 8 restaurants that are using ELF in the local environment. And these are little generators that are handheld that are tuned just out of the human body frequencies where it frustrates them. And the reason that they use these in the restaurants is it causes you, if you tune slightly above 18 hertz, for example, it causes your body to consume large amounts of alcohol. So the alcohol consumption goes up. So commercial people are using these devices now. Okay? So then we go from enzymes to vitamins. Vitamins in the body are units of energy containing light. Okay, that's why the vitamin bottle has to be brown or should be kept in a cool, dark place, because light will seek its balance and it'll jump out of the bottle and go back into the sun, you might say. And the idea is to, if you follow the combustion cycle of the human body, when we eat the plant, the green, you know, because your raw food is your best source of nutrition. Anything cooked is not feeding the body or the spirit, it's just feeding the ego. So when you eat green foods, you have to have the sugars, the simple sugars, and the energies of the sunlight reduced through the Krebs cycle back into the body. It's very important. So vitamins are, in fact, the same form of energy.
Is that true of minerals, too?
Yeah, that's true of minerals, too, but minerals are not working the same as vitamins. Vitamins are more of the life force, and minerals are more of the DNA messages within the life force, if you want to look at it that way. They're the intelligence of the life force. But you need the vitamins to turn on the minerals in the body. That's why you can't swallow a rock and get anything out of it. It has to be broken down. Matter of fact, in the mineral formulas like that I make a formula called XL Plus. We chelate the minerals in very really good proteins. Because if you go down and buy, like, say, oyster shell calcium, you're wasting your time. You're just putting some money in somebody's pocket, because that's not going to do a thing for calcium in your body. You need a chelated form. So it's important in nutrition to understand, you know, how minerals and vitamins can be brought into the body. You have to have the proper enzyme chains and the proper chelation protein chains to make vitamins work. That's why a lot of people, for example, take vitamins, they get no results from them, or if anything, they feel bad. The other thing about vitamins, you should never take vitamins that require food with them. You should always take the ones that tell you to do it on an empty stomach, because if you're taking vitamins that require food, you have an inadequate vitamin, it's robbing something else out of your body that might be vital in some other function to digest or metabolize. The New Age formulas, what I call New Age formulations in vitamins now, takes all this into consideration. Likewise, in vitamins, you shouldn't buy any vitamins that say copper on them, because we already have way too much copper in our bodies. We already have way too much iodine in our bodies. And iodine causes weight problems. Copper causes, in the second generation children, leukemia. If you look at leukemia in children, it's way up on the uprise now when they're born at birth, because of too much copper in the blood, which upsets the white blood cell, red blood cell balance, producing too many white blood cells. Then we come down into protein. Protein is a heavier element. It's a combination of the above, and it begins to link up or magnetically polarize itself and becomes peptide chains and polypeptide chains. And protein in this form combines with itself and forms hormones. Okay? How many of you know what hormones are? How many know what happens in your body when you don't have them? You're not going to function. Hormones are the first unit of biochemistry that possess consciousness. Anytime you have consciousness, in other words, thought entry into your body, like sexual feelings, those are coming from sexual hormones. Feelings of energy are coming from the steroids, the adrenal hormones. Energy of contentment or euphoria or creativity comes from vasopressin in the pituitary. Vasopressin, for example, is made up of lysine and arginine, two peptides that, if they're not in your diet, two proteins that are not in your diet, you're not going to have vasopressin. And when we get into subjects like negative ionization, some people say, well, I don't feel anything around a negative ionizer. I don't feel anything when I go to a waterfall. I don't feel anything when I go up by the pine trees. Probably because they have no lysine and arginine in their bodies to produce vasopressin, or they have some blockage in the vibratory network that causes this combination to take place. Because even if you put the proteins in your body, if you're living in a stressful environment or you're on a job that's wiping you out, making you feel bad, your body can't metabolize these proteins properly to produce the hormones in your body, so you end up with a hormone deficiency. So then you're not susceptible to the positive things that are going on, and you have to backtrack and find out where the blockage lies. So you can't break this train of energy and understanding and produce hormones. It all has to be intact. Yet our environment dictates a break in every step along the way. There's no minerals in the soil. The enzymes are being destroyed by acid and alkaline rain. Enzymes are taste. You know, how many of you notice that fruit and vegetables, when they're raw, don't have the taste they used to have because of the destruction of the soils and that? Vitamins are, you have to take supplements. I mean, I can't find a food that has the same amount of vitamins in it that it had years ago. Anybody, any of the universities will tell you that a meal with vitamin E in it today, the same meal 50 or 25 years ago, had 50 or 100 times more vitamin E in it, just as one example. Now, parallel to this, we have atoms, molecules. Molecules are, when the atoms start forming more and more, the molecules are the first units of biochemistry that have chemical characteristics. The molecules form cells at the rate of 50 million per second, but in most cases they don't, because we lack negative ionization in our lives, because it's, you know, we don't have the forest to produce them anymore. Remember, according to the Global 2000 report, we're taking forest away from the surface of the earth the size of the state of California annually, and that's a pretty good amount. Especially if you consider a country like Germany being half the size of California. And you look around the world that way. Europe, all of Europe is not any bigger than the United States. And so we don't have that much land area. And we're stripping it from forests. The other 60% of our oxygen comes from the surface of the sea, the first 75 feet. But with all the pollutants, the fossil fuel pollutants going up in the atmosphere, then what happens is it rains us down into the surface of the planet. All these pollutants wash off the streets. They're washing off into the ocean now. In the ocean, all this algae that produces this oxygen for us in the ocean is being destroyed. It's like the plague. It's like the algae out there has caught a case of AIDS, because it's just going all across the oceans now. There's big write-ups in the newspapers. I don't know about around here, but in California, they used to worry about the PCBs washing in and some heavy metal poisoning, you know, mercury and that, and cadmium in the local waters getting into the fish, getting into your systems. That's not a problem anymore. Now they're worried about the ocean's ability to produce oxygen. These are the kinds of pollutant problems that we're having. So anyway, we go cells, and then we go into organs. And the main organs in the body that have to do with your feelings and consciousness are the endocrine glands. The endocrine glands are very important because there's seven of them in the body that have seven different sets of hormones that produce 49 different sets of sets of feelings in the body. And of course, the hormone in the endocrine system is supported by the lymphatic system, which then keeps the immune system built up. So you've got to look, you know, around in your body to understand the basics, how things work. Because if your immune system starts to fail, then your body's not going to be able to produce the proper hormone production. Your feelings are going to go bad. When your feelings go bad, it's going to fall back on your immune system. Your lymph glands are going to start swelling up. Water transport's going to go bad. These are the kinds of things you look at, but you got to realize that your feelings and your thoughts have a lot to do with how your body's going to function. You've got to keep yourselves in the meditative state part of the time and realize there are ways out. But first of all, understand ways into the body to get it functioning properly. The brain up here acts like a switch, and it has two types of switches. One is a switch that's open, and when a hormone comes along, it closes it, causing electrical currents to flow. These electrical currents go down through the body, all through the central nervous system. There's 72,000 major wires in the body that conduct electricity. And any time you have electricity flowing through the body, you're going to have magnetism at right angles. And this combination of hormones going into the brain, causing electricity to flow through the body, producing this electrical magnetic field through the body, is called this phenomenon of the human aura. So now that we know that, Krillian photography and aura work has a lot to do with vitality, too. At first, people didn't understand what the aura was. They could see it through photography techniques and see it sometimes through looking through directly through dyes that the medical doctors were using for different kinds of staining of different kinds of bacterial analysis. But now that we know that the aura exists, we know how it exists and why it exists, we can work with it because it does indicate what's going on in the body. Normally, when there's a problem with the aura, you've got to treat the body first, and the aura is just an indicator. It's a light frequency indicator. Then we have another type of switch in the brain that's known as an effector, and when it comes along, it opens a switch and stops the flow of electricity in the body. For example, if you're sitting down meditating, right, you don't want the same energy to relax that you want when you're jogging. So if you have your jogging energy, your exercise energy going, you wouldn't be able to sit still. So you have to unhook certain wires and frequencies in the body by relaxing so that you can reach another state so that your brain will reach a more inner level of contemplation. Within the brain, we have consciousness. We have the physical plane, we have the astral plane, the mental, the intuitive, and other planes. The brain's job is to function properly to allow our consciousness to go beyond the physical into the astral plane, for example. The astral is the dream state. A lot of people don't understand that, but now the dream state is becoming more a waking reality on the physical plane than ever before. That's why you hear more about UFOs. You hear more about all kinds of spiritual phenomena, and there's a lot more attention being paid to that now because that energy is coming to the physical now. This is when the astral or the dream state and the physical become one. That's how our consciousness raises. We become more heavenly. This is the time of the season that we reach that consciousness. Because the New Age, how many of you are familiar with what the New Age is? Okay, New Age has to do directly with time. And when you deal directly with time, what happens is you are looking at cycles. You can look at the lunar cycle, for example, as a measure of time, which causes the change of hormones in the body like serotonin during a 30-day period. This regulates the menstrual flow in women, the emotional flow in men and women, the intellectual flow in men and women. It causes the stock market to change because it's all emotional, mental energy. These kinds of cycles are very real. We have another cycle that takes place on an annual basis where the earth goes around the sun, causing seasons. It affects the mating, reproduction, all these kinds of things, nature. The Christ energy is going in and out of the planet, causing things to be green and things to be brown, all these kinds of things. Then we have a greater cycle of where our Earth and Sun and Moon and solar system rotate around a bigger Sun, which is called Alcyone in the Pleiades. This takes place every 26,000 years. And during that time, we have 12,500 years of darkness and we have 12,500 years of light. People like Nostradamus and Hitler were prophets. One was a negative, one was a positive, but they were able to see the cycles and work the tides of humanity within these cycles and predict things. And now we're going from the age of darkness into the age of light. And Hitler saw it as the millennium, and he was going to capture everybody in the world and make them under his control. You know, everybody has their view of it. And Nostradamus saw Hitler as an antichrist, for example, and Napoleon, and predicted that these people would step forth in certain time cycles and try to enact. But what really is happening is the golden age is everyone. It's not a dictator who's had a vision. It's everybody. It's something for all of us to share. And these cycles are divided into 2,500-year cycles, like we have the Aquarian age we're going into, where we have the believer soul, the soul that knows. It doesn't need to be like a skeptic and have to have a piece of paper to document the fact that the earth is falling apart. They can look around and see it, you know. Whereas you come from the age of Pisces, the believers, are the ones that believe they were doing the right thing and screwing everything up. So it takes that consciousness and that understanding to launch the New Age. And from the New Age, we have all the New Age tools, the things that are so different than what we're used to.
Well, we're winding this puppy down now.
I know that when I was a physicist and working at NASA and doing all these kinds of things, and I switched over to the New Age about 20 years ago, I had to completely revamp my thinking and remove logic. Logic was the first thing that had to go. And you had to go with it being intuitive and feeling. And then once you understood something from a feeling standpoint, then you can logically explain it away to people that were still caught in logic. And that's how the New Age came here to us. Now, in order to get the hormones up into the brain to make all this happen that we're talking about, we need to have vibration present. Now, if you have... You know, if you have the healthiest body in the world and you're not susceptible to vibration, your hormone structure in your brain is never going to work.